Welcome to Supersized Science, where we feature research and discoveries nationwide enabled by advanced computing technology and expertise at the Texas Advanced Computing Center of the University of Texas at Austin. I'm Jorge Salazar, a science writer at TAC. When is something more than just the sum of its parts? Metal alloys show such synergy. The alloy steel, for instance, revolutionized industry by taking iron, adding a little carbon, and making an alloy much stronger than either of its components. Supercomputer simulations are helping scientists discover new types of alloys called high-entropy alloys. Researchers have used the Stampede 2 supercomputer of the Texas Advanced Computing Center, allocated by XSEED, the NSF-funded Extreme Science and Engineering Discovery Environment. The research was published April 2022 in NPJ Computational Materials. The approach taken by the scientists could be applied to finding new materials for batteries, catalysts, and more without the need for expensive metals such as platinum or cobalt. On the podcast to speak more about his study is Wei Chen, Associate Professor of Materials Science and Engineering at the Illinois Institute of Technology. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome.
Would you speak to the main results of your study on cutting-edge materials that are called high-entropy alloys?
So high-entropy alloys represent a very big space of materials. So there's basically an unlimited number of compositions and structures. What we did for this study is that we surveyed a large space of 14 elements and their combinations of high-entropy alloys. So we performed the so-called high-throughput quantum mechanical calculations, and we calculated the stability and the elastic properties for more than 7,000 quaternary high-entropy alloys. So this is so far as I know, the largest database for the elastic properties of high-entropy alloys. Then based on this large data set of high-entropy alloy properties, we applied the deep sets architecture, which is an advanced deep learning architecture, to build predictive models for these high-entropy alloy properties so that we can predict the properties for more high-entropy alloys. And we applied this new machine learning model and predicted the properties for more than 370,000 high-entropy alloy compositions. And lastly, we utilized the so-called association rule learning based on the deep sets prediction so that we can extract insights on how individual elements or combinations of elements will affect the properties of high-entropy alloys. And we derived some rules, or what we call design rules, for high-entropy alloy development. And we proposed several compositions that experimentalists can try to synthesize and make these high-entropy alloys. So they can be used in transportation industry as the jet engine turbines or as the nuclear power plant, like these structural materials, as well as for applications in medical devices, like bone replacement, like these implant materials. Yeah, we are very excited about this work.
Yeah, when I think of an alloy, I think of a material that is kind of like, it's kind of like more than the sum of its parts, right? I mean, it really is something special. Could you speak to why what makes these high entropy alloys kind of special? And you mentioned some applications like an engine and jet engines. What makes them be able to have such strong structures? And also maybe bigger picture, you know, why does this excite scientists?
So as we all know that we use alloys a lot in our daily life, right? And the most alloys, or the so-called conventional alloys we've been using, they are mostly based on a single principal element. So more than 90% of the alloys is a single element, like steel, which is based on iron. Aluminum alloy is based on aluminum, magnesium alloy is based on magnesium. And scientists have been alloying minor elements into these base elements to make the structure alloys that we've been using in our daily life. And these alloys are also called dilute alloys because there's only a single principal element. High-entropy alloys represent a totally different design concept. So in this case, we try to mix multiple principal elements together, we mix 5, 6, 7, 8 elements at approximately equal fractions. So you cannot tell which element is dominant, right? So we are actually having multiple principal element alloys in this case. And also what's different for 100p alloys is that in many cases, these atoms, these different elements, they are randomly distributed in the structure. So there's still a lattice, which still form a crystal, but the decoration of this lattice or the ordering of these atoms are random. So these are also called dilute alloys, and or we can call these concentrated dilute or concentrated disordered alloys. In my write-up, there's one example which is one of the most studied 100p alloys, which is called a Cantor alloy. This alloy was developed about 10 years ago. It's a mixture of 5 elements: iron, manganese, cobalt, chromium, and nickel at equal fractions. And this alloy is very interesting. It has one of the best cryogenic ductility. We know that most materials will become brittle at lower temperature if you live in Illinois like here. So in winter, these alloys will become brittle. But this Cantor alloy, just by mixing these common elements, and suddenly they will have like very low temperature ductility, which is very useful, right? There are two main reasons that the scientific community wants to study these 100p alloys. So first, there is a so-called cocktail effect. So which just means that if we mix a number of elements together at equal or approximately equal fractions as a 100p alloy, they will produce different behavior as its constituent elements. That's one reason that Cantor alloy have such a surprising property. The other reason is that when we mix multiple elements, suddenly we have a very large design space. This space is almost unlimited, right? So we can find new compositional structures based on this 100p alloy concept, and maybe you can find a completely new material for applications that were not possible before.
I imagine this is an exciting time for scientists looking into these things because they sound like they're very extremely complex. And the possibilities, and they probably have a lot of possibilities to them. And I guess that may lead us to my next question, which was about computation and why you needed computation to help you with the research.
So if you look at literature, there are very few experimental results, especially for the elastic properties that we've been calculating for 100p alloys. Over the last 10 or 15 years, there are only about 200, that's a rough number, 200 100p alloys that have been characterized experimentally for their elastic properties. Because 100p alloy represents such a big space of materials, this amount of data is really limiting our capability to design new 100p alloys. So that's why we perform this kind of high throughput calculations to survey a very large number of 100p alloy space to understand their stability and the elastic properties. So for this work, we performed more than 160,000 first principles calculations. These are very accurate quantum mechanical calculations. Really means that we can predict the properties very well. This sheer number of calculations are basically not possible to perform on individual clusters or computer clusters or personal computers, right? So yeah, that's why we need access to high performance computing facilities like XE10 for the calculation.
Maybe just a follow up.
Yeah.
Into how parallelization. Being able to parallelize your code helped your research.
Most high performance computing usage for material study is to run these highly parallel calculations. You run very big simulation with like hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of atoms. And each calculation uses maybe 10 or dozens of nodes. So these are really high-end, like high-performance computing applications. However, for our applications, it's on the other. I'll say it's a It's a totally different use case. So in our case, we have a very large number of small calculations. So each calculation uses one core or two cores, and each calculation probably can finish within 6 or 10 hours. But we have to run a huge number of these so-called small or medium-sized calculations. So most high-performance computing centers, these high, supercomputing centers, they are not suitable for this kind of studies. They are very good at running these highly parallel, huge like material simulation jobs, but they're really difficult to handle these large number of small jobs. What Stampede 2 does and the TACC does that they provide a very nice code called Launcher, which can help us pack individual small jobs into one or two huge jobs. And so that we can use these high performance computing nodes. So for example, the tech computer, each node, I think for Stampede 2, each node has about 60 cores. Because of this launcher script, we can pack 60, maybe 58 jobs, small jobs, and run them simultaneously on a high performance node so that we can utilize this high performance computing more efficiently and finish our large number of small calculations quickly. Yeah, I would say this is a very unique use application for supercomputers, but also it's quite common for many materials modeling problems. So there are lots of materials these days that require the usage of expensive metals or metals that have these supply chain issues, like platinum, which is commonly used in catalysts, and the cobalt, which is commonly used in batteries. These metals are really limiting our capability to manufacture these materials. What Hanchu Palos can do is that we can find easily sourced elements, and hopefully we can mix some of these elements together and we can replace these precious metals or elements that have like supply chain issues. So these are actually strategic materials, I mean, for the future.
You've been listening to Wei Chen of the Illinois Institute of Technology. Supersized Science is part of the Texas Podcast Network, the conversations changing the world, brought to you by the University of Texas at Austin. The opinions expressed in this podcast represent the views of the hosts and not of the University of Texas at Austin. For the Texas Advanced Computing Center, I'm Jorge Salazar.